Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're going no huddle.
With the midday show, no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Let's go now, let's go! Zach!
In hindsight, yeah, I can say I could have went down sooner if I'd have known all of that was going to play out that way. But I also think if I don't get hit from behind, it's a clean, and we're clocking the ball with it with at minimum a second, if not more, if not two or three on the clock. And as I said, their guy did a good job too of diving on me right there at the end, of giving them an extra 2 seconds, I guess, to run off. But yeah, I mean, if we're looking at it now, I could say yeah, I could have went down 5 yards earlier, but. Thought I'd got us in position and thought I had time left to clock the ball, as I said, and something that we've practiced over and over, and was going to be able to get into a last play scenario.
We call thresholds and, you know, the field position, what yard line you're at and what you're trying to get to, too, based on, you know, the defense that they were playing. They were in a sideline defense, so they were protecting the sidelines. And so that was the best option to, you know, to be able to get the ball. I mean, it's like anything else. Do you want to be running a Hail Mary play from the 50-yard line, or you want to be running 5 verticals from the 25-yard line? So that's the decision. It's the right decision. You know, it's just like anything. It's, you know, the execution between us and the officiating spotting the ball obviously wasn't in tune, wasn't, you know, we shouldn't have had any problem getting the ball spotted there. Just, if that's, is that the quote you're looking for? So.
It's the NFL No Huddle on the Midday Show. Crisco, fourth in for Andy and Randy. Guys will be back tomorrow. Glad to be keeping you company here on this MLK Day. Hawks playing later today, trying not to lose another one at home. You can hear that here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's time for us to hit the NFL No Huddle. We take a look back at the NFL over the weekend, and what a wild, wild card weekend it was. We'll start with that game in Dallas with you heard from Dak Prescott, you heard from Mike McCarthy. Look, and I know this is going to be debated and talked about, and it's certainly going to be the biggest national story of the day and probably one that's going to be talked about all week long. But you can't run a quarterback draw with 14 seconds left and no timeouts. You just can't. I don't care if you've practiced it and you've done it in practice. You can't run a quarterback draw with no timeouts and 14 seconds left. Look, Dak can say whatever he wants. Mike McCarthy can come out and try to defend that. They can blame the officials. They can blame the 49ers for laying on top of him, whatever. The fact is, you can't do that with 14 seconds left and no timeouts. Now, if you've got a timeout left and you could have burned it there, sure, you can do that. But with 14 seconds left, you cannot run for 17 yards, slide down, get up, get everybody lined up. First, the official has got to be able to position the ball. He has to be able to touch the ball. You can't get all of that done and get the play off in 14 seconds. It's a terrible play call. I mean, everybody wants to, you know, criticize Dak, criticize McCarthy, whatever. I put it on Kellen Moore. I don't care what the down and distance. You heard McCarthy talk about there, the down and distance and the place on the field and blah, blah, blah. And it doesn't matter. You can't run that with 14 seconds left and no timeouts. Had some questionable officiating on Saturday as well in that Bengals-Raiders game. We talked about this during our What's Trending segment last hour. Joe Burrow throws a touchdown pass to Tyler Boyd just before halftime to put Cincinnati up 20-6. The official blows the whistle on the play while the ball was in the air because they thought Burrow was near the sideline. They thought he was out of bounds. Boyd makes the catch for the TD, and they let it stand. And if you watch that game or you watch the replay of it, the Raiders, when they heard the whistle, they clearly gave up. Even Terry McCauley, the Sunday Night Football rules analyst, said during the broadcast that the play should have been blown dead. Again, I don't know that it matters a whole ton in the end. I still think, you know, the Bengals were the better team. They won. You know, first playoff win in 31 years. That's a good story. I get all of that. But that was a play that never should have happened. Should have been wiped off. They should have made them do it again. A no play. Ball goes back to the line of scrimmage and you run it again. Bengals win, though. They advance. Bills and Patriots. On Saturday night, that was a huge blowout for Buffalo. It's kind of like the Bills finally just took out all their frustrations on the Patriots. That was about 20 years of pent-up frustration that they just let every bit of it out right there. Sean McDermott, the Bills head coach, said that he was says he was happy for the fans in Buffalo. Let's hear from McDermott.
It's not often a coach can enjoy the last 6 minutes of a game and kind of look up in the stands and see the fans enjoying it at home, and I'm happy for them more than anything. And for us as a team this year, it's one game. That's a good football team, and they've been at the top for so long. So we have a lot of respect for them. So we just got to keep moving on.
You know, we're playing that promo here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game for the morning show with John and Hugh, and it was the day after, I guess it was last Tuesday, it was the day after Georgia wins the national championship, and guy calls in and talks about how he was sick and tired of hearing Roll Tide shouted on MARTA after games. I think there was a lot of that going on in Buffalo with New England. There was a lot of, we don't have to hear from you guys again. We don't have to hear this stuff. I thought the Bills would win anyway. I thought Buffalo was a really good team. Falcons played them close this year, but I felt like of the AFC teams, at least that the Falcons saw this year, I thought Buffalo looked like the best. Now, we'll see how it plays out. They jumped out early in that game, and just you heard McDermott say they kind of cruised to that 47-17 win on Saturday night. Let's hear from the losing head coach. Don't get to say that often, right? Here's Bill Belichick after the game saying that he's coming back. Belichick's not planning on hanging it up anytime soon.
I just want to ask you, just on you personally, like how you feel about coaching. I'm just listening to you. It sounds like you're sort of ready to turn the page to 2022 and sort of go through the process. Like, is it safe to say this is still something you want to do in 2022?
Yeah, I'd say that would be accurate.
That is classic, Bell. I'd say that's accurate. Yeah, that guy, he's not going anywhere. Not anytime soon, anyway. I think he is one of those guys. I think the ego there is such that he will not – he's not going to finish. He is not going to allow that to be the way he is remembered in Buffalo, and or the way he's remembered losing that game in Buffalo. Buccaneers beat the Eagles 31-15. Tampa dominated. I mean, that 31-15 score is not indicative as to how dominant Tampa was in this game. It was 31-0 in the fourth before Philly finally put a couple of touchdowns on the board. Let's hear from Tom Brady. It was 14-0 at the end of the first quarter. Here's Tom Brady on the Buccaneers and their fast start.
I think it's always important to try to get the lead. And, you know, we've done a decent job at that at times. you know, we've clawed our way back to. So I think it's finding different ways to win's really good, really important. I'd love to always start fast like that and have a lead like that. So that was a good way for us to start the game. We're going to try to make it happen again next week, whoever we play.
Jalen Hurts, the Eagles quarterback, he goes 23 for 43 in this game, 258 yards passing, one touchdown. He did throw two interceptions, and he got the vote of confidence from his head coach. Here's Nick Sirianni after the game.
I thought he had a great year, and he came a long way, and that's what I expect from Jalen, just because of the type of football character he has, the type of character he has, the toughness that he has, the love for football that he has. I can't say enough good things about Jalen the player, you know, the person, and the player. And so I feel good about him. I know, again, this was the game that, you know, none of us are going to be satisfied with, me, him, multiple guys on that football team. But I'm really pleased with how he came along this year and the leader he is on this football team.
49ers beat the Cowboys. We've already talked about that. Dallas, 10 points in the fourth quarter. Got close, ready to try to throw the Hail Mary, but couldn't get the ball snapped there at the end after running a quarterback draw with 14 seconds left and no timeouts. That's baffling. Chiefs beat the Steelers 42-21. Ben Roethlisberger, final game for Big Ben last night in Arrowhead Stadium as the Chiefs get the win. Let's hear from Roethlisberger as he rides off into the sunset.
You know, I'm going to do everything I can to be the best husband and father I can be and try and expand God's kingdom.
One more. Are you excited for that phase of your life?
I'm nervous. No, I am excited just because, you know, I get to go home tonight. I assume we're going to make it out and get home, and we've got snow, and so the kids are already playing and tubing and doing, you know, sledding and stuff. So being a husband and father, you never take a day off. You got to keep going. And so as we move from one chapter to the next, it's going to be different, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be a new challenge, and I'm looking forward to it.
29 out of 44, 215 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions. He was sacked twice. Ben Roethlisberger playing his last game. Patrick Mahomes, five more touchdowns. Mahomes, 30 for 39, 404. Just a ridiculous day. Chiefs look really, really good. Got a final wild card game coming up tonight. Cardinals-Rams on ESPN. They'll kick it off at around 8:15 tonight. Again, Cardinals and Rams in that final NFC wild card game. All right, we're going to talk more about the National Football League, take a look back at yesterday. We'll get into what's coming up as well. It's Jarrett Bell from USA Today. He covers the NFL for USA Today and has for a long time. He's going to join us next. We'll do that when we come back. Crisco Forth in for Andy and Randy today. Glad to be with you on the Midday Show, Sports Radio 92.9.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Crisco fourth in today for Andy and Randy on the Midday Show. Glad to be hanging out with you as we head out on the WadeFord.com hotline. We welcome in Jarrett Bell from USA Today. He's covered the NFL for a long time, and he's kind enough to spend a few minutes with us. Jarrett, look, the talk today, not just around the National Football League, but I think sports in general, is what happened yesterday at the end of that game in Dallas. Where do you place the blame for what went down yesterday?
I blame it on the Cowboys, and I don't blame it solely on Dak Prescott, but I'll get into Prescott in a minute. But I think you have to look at the triumvirate. Dak Prescott, Mike McCarthy, the head coach, Wonder Boy, offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore, they mismanaged it. They bungled it at the finish. So all of this whining that you're hearing that's just blowing all over the place from Cowboys fans trying to blame the refs, it's totally out of line. And then Dak Prescott actually made a bigger blunder in his post-game news conference yesterday by saying that the fans who were throwing trash at the officials, throwing bottles and debris, were right for doing that. I mean, come on. This is a civilized society, and, yeah, you lost the game. You didn't agree with the call, but to condone the whole act of violence, if you will, to take it out by throwing stuff on the officials, that was, like, totally tacky and very surprising to me, because Dak Prescott, from the time he stepped into the league, has really been a class act. So hopefully this will be the worst incident we'll ever have in talking about Dak and how he responds to something. But, you know, a lot of blame to go around for the Cowboys. They lost it fair and square.
Jared, I said it earlier, I don't understand the quarterback draw with 14 seconds left and no timeouts.
Yeah. You know what? It almost worked. I mean, for what they were trying to accomplish was to get a bit closer so they could take a shot to the end zone. He should have slid a couple seconds earlier. You can say that easily. But even beyond that, if you look at it from the standpoint of, you know, where he actually wound up on the field, he should have handed the ball to the official, because that's how it happens. And, you know, he tried to explain it after the game, saying, well, usually the officials come and they just tap the ball and let the play go, the next snap go on. But that's not really the case, nor should it be, because if it's the case of the official just coming and tapping the ball on the ground, well, what if the spot that the center or the quarterback where they put the ball, what if that's wrong? So, you know, you've got to have some standards. There's definitely a protocol and procedure. And most of the time, I think most players, quarterbacks especially, coaches for sure, if they don't know, they should know that this is kind of the procedure in this type of situation. You hand the ball to the official, let him spot it, have all your guys ready, and then you snap it or you spike it or whatever you're going to do. So for them to try to explain it away saying, well, they officiated it wrongly, you know, that's bogus, okay? So Cowboys to blame. You talk about coaching, talk about details, and obviously when you know you got 14 seconds, you know, what's an extra 5 yards in that situation? You know, so you're risking that versus not getting the playoff, which is exactly what happened.
Jarrett Bell from USA Today, and he's with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So is Mike McCarthy in any trouble with Jerry Jones?
It doesn't sound like it today, but after the game, I saw the clips from Dallas afterwards when they asked Jerry about it, and he said it was the most disappointing loss since he couldn't remember. I could tell you, I think this is the most disappointing loss since the presidential election a couple years ago for Jerry Jones. But from a football standpoint, yeah, it was a crushing loss. And so they asked him about Mike McCarthy after the game, and he said he didn't really want to talk about it at that point. But I think the string definitely has to get a little bit, you know, tighter on Mike McCarthy, because you brought him in here with a team that really has a lot of talent. You know, you talk about the Cowboys not going to the Super Bowl in like 25, 27, however many years it's been, a long time, right? But throughout the years, they've had a lot of good talent. And so their personnel department has really done, you know, a phenomenal job, if you will, in terms of the consistency with which they've, you know, surrounded, you know, this team with a collection of talent. And so Jason Garrett, I mean, he was the punching bag for many years, couldn't get him over the hump. And now here's Mike McCarthy stepped in that same old chair. And now we see it again where the Cowboys blew it. I mean, how many times have the Cowboys, like, lost their playoff opener in Texas and in Dallas? I mean, this has happened a few times. I know the Giants did it twice, where the Cowboys were heavily favored, home opening playoff game, and they screwed it up. So, you know, there you go again, Dallas.
Where do you put the Bills in the AFC pecking order?
Boy, let's see if they can go on and win in Kansas City. You know, I don't make as much of the blowout the other night against the Patriots as some big statement, because we saw, I'm here in Tampa right now, and I saw the Bucs, you know, roll all over the Eagles yesterday. We saw the Chiefs pummel the Steelers again, and then we saw Buffalo really hand it to New England. So Buffalo played, you know, almost a perfect game against the Patriots, right? For the third time. I mean, he played them for the third time in like, you know, a month or 6 weeks or whatever. So they were ready for that. They won in Kansas City earlier this year, right? And so they know they can do it. They can match up. But the Chiefs are better now than they were in early October. So they are going to see a different Kansas City team with a defense that is playing with more confidence, with a defense that has some healthy bodies back that they didn't have in October. And I think the key for Kansas City is whether or not, you know, Patrick Mahomes is turning over the ball. And in October, that was an issue for Kansas City for, what, 3-4 weeks, whatever. But they seem to have corrected that. The Chiefs have so much firepower. And, you know, I saw Jerick McKinnon last night, the running back, who has been added to the mix all of a sudden. And, you know, I don't think he'll beat Mecole Hardman and Tyreek Hill in a foot race, but he'd come pretty close, right? And so when you look at the Chiefs and the team speed they have, I don't think Buffalo is going to catch up. And I don't like Buffalo's offense and its running game really being built around Josh Allen. As, you know, dominant of a runner as Josh Allen is as the quarterback, I think it's the same problem that Buffalo had last year. When you talk about how their offense is constructed, you need to have a defense that you could, I mean, a running game that you could rely on in the playoffs to, you know, give yourself some versatility on offense. And, you know, Josh Allen brings a lot, but I think that's asking a bit too much for him to carry the running game as opposed to being, you know, a complement to the running backs.
Jarrett Bell from USA Today. He's with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Look, we saw plenty of the Buccaneers here in Atlanta this season. You saw them yesterday. I thought that was a pretty dominant performance by them. How concerned are they in Tampa with the injuries, especially at wide receiver?
Oh, yeah. You know, you can say especially at wide receiver and be correct. You can say especially at running back and be correct. You could have said throughout much of the season – the injuries in the secondary and been correct. Some of those guys are coming back, even though Sean Murphy Bunting didn't play yesterday. They, They thought he might be able to play, but he didn't. The front seven guys, they've got them back. So the injuries are a concern. And, you know, these seasons are always different. Those two seasons are alike. Obviously, they've got Tom Brady, so you know what you have there. And if you get in a close game, you know what you have there. But I think the key for the Bucs right now, and what was really encouraging for them, was to see their defense really come together yesterday. Now, they lost a shutout in the fourth quarter. So, you know, there's some stuff for them to talk about in the meetings this week about, you know, keeping their intensity and not relaxing and all of that. But the fact that they had their playmakers in the front seven yesterday, which, you know, when you have that, all of a sudden the guys on the back end are a whole lot better, right? And so Shaq Barrett made a phenomenal interception yesterday where he dropped into coverage and tipped the pass and deflected it to himself and wanted to score the touchdown. But that was the type of big play that, you know, inspired the defense. And Gronkowski was talking about it after the game. He said, hey, you know, we saw what was happening on defense, and we had to try to match that intensity on offense. So, you know, it's always about complementary football, especially this time of year. If you go back to the playoff run they had last year, you know, Brady, what did Brady throw, like three picks at Green Bay, and they still won? So that's complementary football, and I think the Bucs are going to give themselves a chance to really make a legitimate deal. But if they have to play the Rams next weekend, which is, you know, which I'm guessing that's the team they're going to have to play, that might be the worst matchup for them, you know, for somebody coming into Tampa, because the Rams and Sean McVay, they have had the Bucs number over these past couple of years since Tom Brady got there. So they need that. They need health. Everybody has to be healthy. But, you know, like I said, for the Bucs, having some bodies coming back on defense at this right time of year is good. And they can just kind of, you know, patch it, as Bruce Arians was saying yesterday, with some Band-Aids and duct tape on offense, because that's the one thing that they do have. They've got different weapons that they can utilize, and it's kind of like, okay, who's up this week? Here's what we need to try to do.
Jared, I can't let you go without asking you about the Falcons. Give me your thoughts on what you saw from Arthur Smith as a head coach in year one here.
Yeah, I probably saw more, better than I thought, but a lot of work to do. But I think the big thing for the Falcons this year, going into next season or into the draft and free agency and all that, they better try to find as many offensive linemen as they can to protect Matt Ryan. So Matt Ryan, we know, is in the fourth quarter of his career, if you will, but he is still, you know, a serviceable quarterback. And you know, potentially a dynamic guy if you can protect him. And I think Arthur Smith and the Falcons management really can look at Andy Reid and Kansas City as a model to the idea that it can be done. Look at how the Chiefs got ramroded in the Super Bowl by the Bucs, right? And they went out during the offseason, and they did it through the draft and through free agency, and they rebuilt that whole offensive line, and that has not been an issue for the Chiefs this year, and that's why they've got a chance to go back to the Super Bowl, because they were really able to address what was a severe deficiency that was exposed in the biggest game of the year. So the Falcons, I think, need to take that same approach and go, you know, all in on really trying to do what they can to protect Matt Ryan, because they've got weapons. I think one of the things we saw, and I loved what Arthur Smith was able to do this season with Cordarrelle Patterson. I mean, this guy's been in the league for like 10 years, and nobody has used him as an offensive weapon like the Falcons did. So if they can, you know, continue to do that and some more tweaks, but it all starts with being able to protect Matt Ryan. The defense, we can have another conversation about that later, but, you know, for what they need to really – focus on the offense, it has to be, you know, protect Matt Ryan. Keep Matt Ryan healthy. keep him alive, okay? Because, you know, there are times when that guy just got beat up so bad that you felt sorry for him.
Jared Bell, USA Today. Jared, appreciate it, man. As always, great stuff.
All right, Chris, you take care, man.
Thank you, man. Jared Bell, USA Today, covers the NFL and has for a long time. For USA Today, he's been with us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. We'll get to our college football notebook. We're going to do that next. I'm going to tell you why the college football playoffs are not going to be expanding anytime soon. So don't think there's going to be a rush to 12 teams in the college football playoff. We'll get into that as we wrap up the 11 o'clock hour next. Glad to be hanging out with you today. Crisco fourth in for Andy and Randy. Guys, getting a long weekend. You know Randy's got diaper duty. He's having to change some diapers. All right, look, we'll get to some college football. We're going to talk more about the Hawks coming up as well. Sarah Spencer covers the Hawks for the AJC. She'll be with us about 40 minutes or so from right now. Hang on, more to come here. It's the Midday Show. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Yeah. College football notebook coming up here now on the Midday Show. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Crisco fourth in place of Andy and Randy today. Glad to be in with you guys. We'll be back again tomorrow. But until then, we'll Stephen Gagliano joining me as we hold the fort down today for Andy and Randy until tomorrow. Sarah Spencer from the AJC, she'll join us coming up in a few minutes. We'll talk with her about those Hawks, and we'll try to get back to some more Hawks. Heard from a ton of folks on Twitter and about our recent Hawks discussion that we had. We're going to come back to that before we end the show today at 2 o'clock. So hang on, and we'll get to that. It's time for our college football notebook. The reason why the college football playoffs won't be expanding anytime soon. ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips, I don't know if you saw this over the weekend or maybe you saw it on Friday, he said that now is not the time to expand the college football playoffs. Phillips says that the focus should be on the NCAA reform and the federal NIL reform. He said that ACC coaches are unanimous that now is not the right time to expand. Said that he spoke to Clemson players who told him they don't want to play more games. It's a couple things here. It's just to kind of break down some of his comments. First off, I think he is correct about the NCAA going through some kind of reform. The NCAA, I mean, that's just kind of ran its course, it feels like, honestly. Especially where the Power Five programs are concerned. I would think at some point in time, you're going to see the Power Five, and I know it's been talked about a lot, they're going to split, they're going to go off, form their own thing, and play by their own rules. I think there's a chance that happens. The problem right now, and it's highlighted here by what Phillips is talking about, is the fact that within the Power Five, nobody can agree on anything. Like, nobody can all get together. Bob Bowlesby, who is the commissioner of the Big 12, and we can argue, you know, another time about whether or not the Big 12 should still be considered a Power 5 conference with once Texas and Oklahoma leaves. But Bob Bowlesby, he had the comment the other week saying that, well, the problem is nobody does what's in the best interest of college football. Everybody takes care of themselves. So you've got a whole bunch of conferences. Well, really, you've got each of the Power Five conferences who all look out for themselves. Now, I do think there seems to be some degree of solidarity, if you will, among the Group of Five programs who all seem to sort of march in step together. They're trying to do what's best for them, while the ACC, the SEC, the Big Ten, Big 12, and Pac-12, they're all trying to carve out their own little niche and protect themselves. Phillips goes on to say that the ACC position has not changed. He says there's no support for an eight-team playoff. So he just said that Clemson players told him they don't want to play more games, but that's what you get with a 12-team playoff. And frankly, Jim Phillips and the ACC, they can say whatever they want to say about this, and they can say it publicly, but privately, I think a lot of this boils down to the fact that the ACC doesn't like what the SEC has gone out and done now. They don't like the power that that conference has accumulated. When, if we're being honest, if any other conference in college football had have been presented that same opportunity to land Oklahoma and Texas, they would have done the exact same thing that the SEC did. I think that has more to do with what Jim Phillips is talking about than anything else. I think a lot of people got hurt by what the SEC did, felt like that Greg Sankey and the SEC had gone behind people's backs while they were supposed to be working in this secret group that had been meeting for a year that nobody knew anything about. And with the idea of playoff expansion, and while Greg Sankey and Bob Bowlesby were both on that committee, Sankey was going in and trying to steal, or wasn't trying to, did steal two of his teams away from him. I think a lot of people are upset about that, but that's the way it is. Phillips says the ACC's position hasn't changed. Here's the fight over what's going on with this. And there's a couple of things. First thing is automatic qualifiers. Because the group of five, they want to see automatic qualifiers in there. And I think also, too, that the Pac-12 wants to see it, and I think the Big 12 wants to see it. I think they want to try to assure themselves of a place at the table to get a slice of what is going to be some expanded TV money that's going to come down from all of this. I don't think the SEC cares. You know, Greg Sankey said when they met a couple of weeks ago, around the college football playoff, the national championship game, they met that weekend in Indianapolis. Greg Sankey showed up in Indy. He's like, hey, I'm ready to get a deal done. Because if you're the SEC, you take a look at what's going on right now, and you're like, huh, who cares about, we don't need automatic qualifiers. We're going to be just fine. Based off of the strength of our conference now and the strength of this conference going forward, we're going to be A-OK. So we don't care about automatic qualifiers. The SEC, they want everything to be an at-large. Because if everybody's an at-large and it's 12 teams, then Greg Sankey knows the SEC's going to be in position. They're going to be able most years, on a bad year, okay, the SEC will get 3 to 4 in. On a good year, oh, the SEC could get 5 to 6. And that's the reason why he doesn't want to see automatic qualifiers. Doesn't matter. They don't need it. Again, it's everybody looking out for themselves. I think there was some truth into what Bob Bowlesby said back at the national championship game the other week, or that weekend prior. Everybody's trying to take care of what's in their best interest. As Bowlesby said it, nobody's looking out for what's good for college football. Big Ten and the Pac-12, they want to protect the Rose Bowl. They want it to get special treatment. They want it to keep that premium time slot that it's got on New Year's Day. And they want it to be in the rotation for the national semifinals. But even when it's in the semifinal rotation, they still want it to be played on New Year's Day. And there's still a lot of talk about how you incorporate the bowls into the playoffs, which I think is really going to be tough. Because if you expand this thing to 12, you're going to have to play some of these playoff games on campus. Or do you? Can you ask a fan base to go to Dallas one weekend, Indianapolis the next weekend, and Los Angeles the next weekend in the college football playoff? Can you do that? there's a part of me that says, no, you can't do that. You've got to play games on campus. But then there's another part of me that looks at this and says, well, do they really care if anybody shows up at bowl games anymore? I mean, for the last 10 to 15 years, bowl games, if it's not, okay, the Rose Bowl, you know, the one of the New Year's Six games, which I think still carries some weight to it. If you're not one of those games, look, what was it, about 10 years ago at the Birmingham Bowl, they didn't sell enough seats. They were concerned about how it looked on television, and I forget who it was that was playing in the Birmingham Bowl. This would have been, I don't know, 2011, 2012. They actually went, and true story, they got mannequins and dressed them up in school colors, and they had mannequins sitting in the upper level of the Birmingham Bowl to try to make it look like there were people there on TV, because all they were getting on television are these wide sweeping shots or the big zoom shots from the end zone where they show the whole stadium and, you know, all that kind of thing. So nobody was actually going to be able to tell that those were a bunch of mannequins that were in the stands in the upper level. All you saw was different colored shirts, and it looked like people were there. So I don't know. Maybe they don't care anymore about people showing up so long as ESPN and ABC are willing to write that check. And, you know, who cares? This has turned into the college football playoffs has turned into a made-for-TV event now. That's what this is. It is a made-for-TV event. There is also issues with how the revenue gets split up. So everybody wants to make sure that they get the right piece of the pie, and a big enough piece of the pie. In order to make changes to the college football playoff contract before it ends in 2026, and by contract I mean the TV contract, because that's really all that matters with this, they need unanimous approval from the conferences. Now, based off what Jim Phillips, who is the president of the ACC and head of the commissioner of the ACC, has said, the ACC is not on board. He says if he's got his head coaches saying they don't want to expand right now, if the university presidents at the ACC are saying they don't want to expand right now, Jim Phillips has no choice, I think, but to act on behalf of the people that he represents. And if that's what they're saying, then doesn't look like expansion is going to come. It's looking less and less like that happens now before the contract expires in 2026, which means we could be looking at 27 before we end up seeing some sort of expansion of the college football playoff. Players don't want to play more games, but this thing's going to 12 because, according to Jim Phillips, 8 is dead. Nobody's talking about 8 teams in the playoffs now. Everybody's talking about 12 teams in the playoffs, and that's where things are going. We'll get to big deal, small deal, no deal. We'll do that a little less than an hour from now. Sarah Spencer, we'll talk more about the Hawks with her coming up at 12:20. And it's our big clip of the day. We're going to turn things over to Stephen Gagliano, and Stephen is going to take us through some of the big news in the world of sports. We will do that next. Crisco Forth in for Andy and Randy. Glad to be hanging out with you today on this MLK Day. I hope you're warm wherever you are. I got about an inch and a half of snow yesterday at my house. That's how I spent my morning, was out there chipping snow so my wife could get into her car this morning. It was don't get that too often. But, you know, hey, it was pretty. It was a really wet snow, so I'm afraid it's just going to be a big old muddy mess later today. But still looks pretty out there right now. Big clip of the day. That's coming next. Glad to be with you. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.